to call our October 23rd committee meeting to order. Big welcome to all of our regents, the faculty and staff that are joining us today in administration, as well as any guests that may be in the attendance. Your participation in our board meetings. I want to make a special welcome to our new regents, Regent West, Regent Milliken, and Regent Edmonds. Congratulations. We look forward to working with you and engaging with you and sharing thoughts and ideas about what's best for our university. I also understand that Dr. Shane Spiller is in the audience today. I want to congratulate him for his recent selection as the next faculty regent. We will, according to their faculty handbook, he takes office November 1, and so we will swear Dr. Stiller in at our December board meeting. In a few minutes, we will recognize our individual Regents in attendance today and conduct a swearing-in ceremony. Each of you have received a copy of new committee assignments. The main purpose, the only purpose of that revision was to place our new regents on the respective committee. And if you have any questions or concerns, let me know, somebody know, we will address those. Obviously, these committee assignments run through June 30th, 2021, and then the next chair will establish future assignments. So if the region has aspirations for another committee, why not make those things known to the fellow regents. With that being said, Julia, are you distributing or have we received the 2021 meeting schedule?
Yes, it's been distributed at their places.
Okay. Ask everyone to put that on your calendar so that we can continue to maintain full participation in the meeting. Next, we normally do not have a roll call at a committee meeting, but we are going to do that today in order to, we felt that it would be preferred since we are swearing in the regents that we put up in the formality in this particular committee meeting especially. So with that, Secretary David Brinkley, would you please call the roll?
Regent Bale, present. Regent Ball.
Present.
Secretary Brinkley is present. Regent Edmonds.
Present.
Regent Ernst.
Present.
Chair Higdon.
Present.
Regent Henson.
Present.
Vice Chair McKinney.
Present.
Regent Milliken.
Here.
Regent Nichols.
Present.
Regent West. Mr. Chair, we have 10 regents present representing a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We have a quorum that can conduct business. The next item on our agenda is recognition. Call upon President Cavone to start that process.
Regent Higdon, thank you so much. Today is a bittersweet day. We get to say goodbye to some close friends, but also to celebrate the work that they've done on behalf of Western Kentucky University. I want to take a moment to pause and express my appreciation to Regent Ernst for his work, for his collaboration, for his guidance, and for his good counsel for the past 3 years. It feels like a day. And it feels like a decade since my first semester here on the Hill. And one of the constants has been Klaus's work together with me, with the cabinet, with others across campus, but his individual leadership as well. One of the things that many people don't understand or don't know about shared governance is that the work that happens collaboratively behind the scenes to shape what we do as an institution is sometimes more important than the work that occurs in meetings. I will share with you, there have been many occasions when Klaus has reached out to help me understand more clearly an issue from the perspective of a faculty, to help do a little course correction on selections. I will remember our strategic planning conversation when I first arrived, making sure that there were no missteps made. And along the way, I've been thankful for Klaus's reliance upon data and not emotion. As a mathematician, you obviously expect that from him. And he has been a wonderful servant to the university, will continue to be a leader on campus as a distinguished professor. But we're just grateful and thankful, Klaus, for your friendship and the work that you've done on behalf of the university as a regent. And I will open it up to any other regents who would like to say something nice about Regent Ernst to thank him for his service.
Well, it's hard to follow those accolades, Mr. President, but it's been a true pleasure, learning experience in working with Regent Klaus. He brought a lot of talent, devotion, heavy lifting to our meetings and to our board engagement. His fellowship for each of us was unbelievable when he led the university to a better place. He definitely will be missed, but I hope we can continue to call upon his expertise, and I feel like if he's got some comments for us, that he will be shy and texting them along. So thank you, Klaus, for your outstanding service to the university as a regent, and more importantly, your outstanding service to the university as a distinguished professor.
I certainly would like to add a few comments too. Klaus has always been on time. He's done his work, his homework. He's been thoughtful on many issues that we've dealt with these last 3 years, which have been jam-packed full of activities and strategies. And he has exemplified many great characteristics, and fortunately he and I often agreed on most things. I can't think of many things we didn't agree on, but he has kept the university's best interest at heart throughout all of that. So I will miss him personally, and we will miss him on this Board of Regents. And he also has a spouse who has been a credit to both him and our university. So we'll miss seeing Yuta as much, but you're not going away, and we will see you on campus.
I'd like to make a couple of comments as well. First, let me endorse everything that's been said. I have enjoyed Klaus being a seatmate. Often he and I sit there commiserating over various issues. But the thing that I wanted to say is, I've met a lot of smart people in my time. I put Klaus in that category. Really, really a brilliant individual. And I don't think you can ask for someone who's been more dedicated, committed, and working hard to be the representative for the constituent in which he was to serve. Not just from a faculty perspective, but for students and for the university. And Klaus had a lot of conversations privately, asking questions, and you know, I always think that the really smart people know so much, but I appreciate really smart people who say, I don't understand this part, and they're reaching out to the people that can actually help them understand it. I don't know that I was ever able to help him understand a lot, but the fact is he reached out to do that, and that just shows the level a commitment that he's had in the role as a regent and for the whole university. So I would thank him for his service and look forward to seeing him still as we get around the campus.
Can I jump in next? Some of you all in this room know that Klaus and I haven't always agreed, but we have been able and willing to work together and learn from each other. And some of the best discussions I've had around the best interests of the university, and that's the key thing here, is we have to put our constituencies aside, because the elected regents are brought in by certain constituencies, but we represent by statute and by requirement and by bylaws the best interest of the university, not necessarily the staff, the faculty, or the students in that order. Klaus has helped me understand that. He's helped me work through complex issues, and sometimes when we walk into a room and we aren't necessarily walking into an atmosphere where we think we're going to be the best conversation in the room, because we have to get information out, we have to get questions answered that are very concerning to us, it's good to have a partner in those meetings. And Klaus has been a good partner. We've been able to bounce questions back and forth in many instances in meetings across campus, come to some similar conclusions and different conclusions, but all of them have been in the best interest of moving the university forward. I can't say enough, though, about an ongoing thing that he will be participating in, and that's he is a member of the Benefits Committee, and of all the service that will continue by him, forget the faculty piece where he's an invaluable member of the faculty of mathematics. His work on the Benefits Committee is some of the most important work that any individual does on this campus. Now, I'm happy that that will continue regardless of his board service.
Thank you all. I'm deeply honored by all these accolades.
Can I jump in and just say thank you, Klaus? It's been a pleasure to serve with you and an honor. I wish you well.
Thank you. It has been an honor to be on this board. I would like to continue. You guys know that, but the vote is the vote, and I have to accept that. Life goes on. So thank you.
There's no compensation for serving as a regent other than the honor of getting to represent your constituency and guiding the institution. But we do have a small token of appreciation for the hundreds of hours of work it takes to prepare for these meetings. And Klaus, as Regent Bale said, you are among the most prepared regents over the past 3 years, and the level of commitment to reading every line of every document, I think, is to be commended and is appreciated. So thank you for your work. Congratulations on a wonderful term, and we'll see you at coffee or tea.
Yeah. You have seen this every meeting.
we have one more special recognition today, and I want to recognize Regent Will Harris, who has served as the Student Government Association president and student regent for what I believe is the longest single-term presidency in the history of the Student Government Association. Will was elected in the spring of 2019 and served as president of the Student Government Association due to COVID-19 until just the past couple of weeks. And Will has been a rock-solid leader for the student body, but has been also a great contributor to the regents. I want to make particular mention of his commitment to ensuring, as an institution, we navigated what may have been some of the most difficult waters in the history of WKU. When the decision to go remote was made in March, and the task force began its arduous work, along with the work of faculty and staff, to come back in person in August, Will was a daily representative on those 8 a.m. calls. And those daily calls lasted, it felt like years. I think it was several months until we pulled the schedule back. And he was always the guiding force behind keeping at the center of our decision our mission to serve students and to make sure that whatever decisions we were making as an institution kept them in mind. And so, Will, I appreciate your leadership as a Student Government Association president as a regent, your good friendship and colleagueship. And we really look forward, this is the most fun part, we look forward to seeing all that you accomplish in your professional career. Thank you for your work, your service. And you're not going away yet. We have a commencement to celebrate in person in May. So congratulations, Will. Thank you.
Will, likewise, you've been an outstanding representative of student body in your service. It's been exemplary, engaging, a true shared governance partnership arrangement. I, like the president, can't wait to follow your career. You better have a jetpack with us because it's going to be fast and high, I know. But thank you for your service. And again, don't hesitate to stay in touch. Offer suggestions, comments, and we look forward to seeing your future successes.
Hear, hear. I've been on the board long enough that I've seen quite a number of student regents, and Will has to be right up there at the top. He's been a pleasure to serve with.
I'll just say, Will, thank you for your mentorship this last year, serving as your vice president. I've got to serve as vice president for two student body presidents and two regents. For those of you that don't know, Will is my best friend, has been for some time now, and it's an honor to get to follow in your footsteps, and I do hope to continue to have your mentorship in this role. But you're going to do great things. I'll see you later when we go back home. But yeah, thank you.
Again, there is no monetary reward for serving as a regent or a student body president, but we have a small token of our appreciation, Will, for you and the work that you've done. And I'm still working to see if we can get access to the bell tower in Cherry Hall for that photograph you want to have made. So we're going to get that done at some point between now and May. I got to find the key. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
You like to say something?
Yeah, I'd just like to say the past, year and 5 months, or quite possibly the longest year and 5 months of my life, but by far the most enjoyable. It was a pleasure to serve on the board with each of you all in all the different roles, and getting to watch and learn from each and every single one of you. I truly enjoyed my time here, and it's going to be difficult to move on, but I'm still here. I'm still here for a little bit longer until May, until we have that in-person commencement, and that's on record. And then also, Garrett is fulfilling my role. I just wanted you all to know to take it easy on him. He is my best friend. We do live in the same house as each other, so I will be there for backup anytime he calls on me. So, I'm there anytime you all need me, and anytime I need to come back, I'm always more than willing to come back. And it's going to be hard to move on, but I'm excited for retirement. So thank you all very much.
Mr. President, does that conclude our special recognition?
That does conclude our special recognition.
Again, to Regent Burns, Regent Harris, thank you for your dedication and commitment to the university. We next move on the agenda to the oath of office. Will our new regents follow the direction of Julia? We will commence the swearing-in process.
Not yet.
Again, good morning. Welcome. I ask that you raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, throughout it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as a second in carrying a challenge or aided or assisted any person thus offended? So help you God.
I do.
I do.
Congratulations, Regent West.
Thank you.
Regent Milton.
Thank you.
Regent Edmonds.
Thank you.
At this time, Julia will distribute to you a pin symbolizing your service as a regent to the university. It represents a long-standing heritage adopted in the past that the regents would have a special pin to signify their service to the board, their fiduciary responsibility to this university, and to, in a way, recognize the honor and privilege of your service to our great institution.
Thank you.
At this time, a round of applause and welcome our new regent. Mr. President, do you have anything to add?
Regents of the lifeblood of leadership and shared governance at this university, and one of the great privileges of service is the learning that comes along with it. And so for each of you, I hope you find your time and your service as educational as those who preceded you. You're caretakers of a wonderful university, and our job as stewards of WKU is to leave the university in a better place than we found it. And so I look forward to working hand in glove with you during your terms as regents to help advance the course of this institution. And I look forward to getting to know you personally and our fond relationships that we get to form with one another. So congratulations to each of you.
Thank you.
Any other regent have a comment to add? You should know that over the upcoming weeks, our new regents will participate in orientation and training, some of it mandatory and some of it will be generated internally by the university. Also want to let the other regents know that we are still on task to formulate a training session for all of the regents. Hopefully we can get that accomplished. We're thinking maybe January is a more probable timeline, but I did want you to know that that is still on our task list, and that will facilitate our continuing education as regents of the university. With that being said, again, congratulations to our new regents. We look forward to working with you. All of us want to be a resource for you. Reach out to any one of us with questions or comments, and we'll get you running on the ground running. Thank you very much. Again, congratulations. And at this time, I think we're ready to get to the committee agenda. And the first committee is Academic Affairs, chaired by Regent Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a comment for our new board members, we're a small board, and as they will no doubt soon realize, we're a working board. And because we don't have that many numbers, everyone ends up playing a pretty important role. So on the Academic Affairs Committee, welcome Mr. Milliken today, and Shane will soon be replacing Klaus, and I look forward to having both of you on the Academic Committee. I think the role of our committees is evolving almost as we speak. We have Provost Stevens with us via Zoom, and one of the things that I will mention concerns our certificate programs, and we have talked about having a session to explain how that process is being done. Provost Stevens has been working with her people in putting together some things, and they're not quite ready, but particularly since we have two new committee members, it makes sense to sometime in the next few weeks or months possibly have a special call meeting of the Academic Committee to discuss this process. We have recently had a number of programs we've been asked to approve. We have two more on the agenda for today. And with our new CAPE process regarding curriculum and how that's handled, I think we can anticipate more of this sort of thing over the next few years. With that, I will go to action item one. And Provost Stevens, I think we have someone here to perhaps present to us these, do we?
Correct. Sarah McCaslin from the from Professional Studies is going to present briefly the proposal for this undergraduate certificate. Sarah?
Thank you, Dr. Stevens. Thank you all for your time today. I appreciate it. This is a interdisciplinary professionalism and success certificate. It is designed specifically for the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences student. It is a product of a initiative led by our Student Success and Leadership Committee within our college. Under the guidance and support of Dr. Murphy, we have devised a couple of student success initiatives for our college. One of those being the Student Success Academy. We look at that as a four-year process, beginning with our first-year students through their entire student life cycle, engaging not only in the classroom but outside of the classroom, to prepare themselves for graduation and just retention, success. All of that is rooted within the high impact practices that are established through the American Association of Colleges and Universities. That's our framework for what we're doing here. And specifically, out of all of that, we decided to look at a curricular credential for our students. And what we've devised here is this interdisciplinary professionalism and success certificate. Now, the students that participate in the Student Success Academy have the option of adding this certificate to their amazing programs that they choose within the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences: psychology, teacher ed, organizational leadership, military studies. And this particular certificate, it fosters retention. It goes very, very well with our Colonnade program, our general education program. And the students that participate in this certificate will gain an added layer of professionalism, workforce readiness as they transition out of the undergraduate situation into the workforce, or as they choose to go into graduate studies to pursue graduate degrees. The coursework within the certificate is embedded in a student's chosen program within the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. We have been very mindful of students' time, their finances, as well as their already committed time to their actual programs. And again, this certificate, as it is embedded into their program, they will complete a capstone course within the certificate that lets them pull all of their learning, all of their experiences as a student together and become that emerging professional from our College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. And we feel like that this certificate will place them at a higher level. It will help them culminate all of their learning and their time here at WKU as they transition out into that workforce. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
I think I just heard you say that this program could be integrated into their four-year program without additional cost to the student.
That is true, yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
I have a couple comments, questions. So I will not oppose this, just to say that up front, but I'm puzzled by the need for such a program. So if I have this file in front of me and if I read of it, so upon completion of the program, students will communicate functional knowledge. My opinion would be that any undergraduate major we have at this university ought to enable the student to do this. Demonstrate evidence of writing collaborative projects, research in the academic field. Again, I would say that any major worthwhile salt ought to do this. Exemplify a commitment to cultural sensitivity. Same thing, if you are in the College of Education and you don't have that, I mean, what are you doing there? And so I'm sort of puzzled by whether this is a positive thing or a negative thing in the sense that suppose you do not have this, okay, this certificate. Are we saying that these other students are not prepared? This is not a message I think we want to send, okay? Now, I have looked at the courses which are there. There's just a whole bunch of courses, and so I see no problem that students get this extra certificate. But whether this is worth anything, that is the question I just can't quite wrap my head around. So can you convince me that this is really something which is worthwhile for students to do?
And Dean Murphy, feel free to weigh in on this discussion.
I feel the worth of this certificate comes in at the end of the student's program. Yes, they are exposed to global learning. Yes, they are exposed to foundational knowledge in their 100 and 200 level classes. And yes, they are exposed to their research and their writing throughout their programs. This is apparent. This is obvious. However, again, I feel the worth of this program comes in at the end of a student's life cycle here at WKU. They may engage in these particular practices, in this information. They may have completed and checked the boxes for their general education and all of that. But what we're trying to do here is, at the end of this particular program, this certificate, have a student look at what they've accomplished and be able to articulate those accomplishments as they transition into the workforce, as they transition into graduate school. And that's one of the reasons why we do have the culminating course there at the very end that will provide students an outlet, an opportunity to put together perhaps a portfolio that highlights their experiences here as a WKU student. And we feel like that if a student can go into a job interview or a graduate school interview and be able to articulate all of that foundational knowledge, their participation in research and writing and global learning and all of these wonderful things that they've done, then these students are going to rise above their competitors, basically. We feel like this will give our students a place, a prominent place, when decisions are being made about employment, graduate school, that kind of thing. There is a bit of a precedent here on the Duquesne campus for a certificate such as this. In 2014, the College of Gordonport College of Business created a certificate very similar to this, and this was some inspiration as we were developing what we wanted to do within the College of Education. So, I had conversations with Dr. Evelyn Brescher. She actually was pretty excited that another college on campus was, pursuing this particular
And I'll just add, just briefly, this is a first opportunity for us as a university to have a certificate that actually ties together high-impact practices that live within a college. So American Association of State Colleges and Universities has a number of studies showing the impacts of research as an engaged experience at the undergraduate level, as quality advising, professionalism within the degree program itself. And what this certificate does is it allows all of the departments within the College of Education to partner together around the idea of what does it mean to be a graduate of our college. And then it provides that level of academic consideration to our students through an experiential process. And so it is about tying together. And Klaus, absolutely, I agree with you. Every degree program worth its salt is going to have many of these similar outcomes. But this is not serving to solve a deficit problem. This is serving to enhance opportunities for our students within our college and for our faculty to be able to work together around a common level of activity that we hope really is highlighted within our college. We have a lot of research, we have a lot of student groups, we have a lot of different kinds of community activities happening. We want to give students an opportunity to really build those into a program that they can say, this is what the certificate means because it meant partnership with my student peers in different majors. And so there's a lot of opportunities here that we're tying together in an academic credential in a way we have not done so before.
For the benefit of our new regents, too, it's worth noting that by the time these proposals reach us, they have gone through a number of committees, and I don't know if it's worth mentioning how many or which ones, but they do get vetted extensively along the way.
I have one more question. Sarah and Corinne, I thank you for your answers, and as I said, I will not oppose this. The second question is a little bit more general, going also to Provost. So, this particular proposal mentions degree associates data, but it's not provided. And we are needing to find a way of doing this in a systematic way. Either it is there or it is not there. But I think to send this on, which with a reference to it, without providing it, is not a good thing to do. And in particular, if I read from this thing, it says that indicates a low association for employment, but this is misleading, which is sort of a statement which says, well, yeah, if the grain data doesn't support what we're doing, then we say it's misleading. And so I think we need to find a process by which we either have this there or we have not have it there, but sort of it randomly appears. It's not a good thing. So this is not an issue with this particular proposal, but this is an issue in general. I think we need to find a clear way to move these forward.
Klaus, we are well aware of the issues with program review, and we're working very hard at identifying and being able to articulate how we review programs. Certificates are a little different than bachelor's programs, and the issue with Greg is that the data are tied to a zip code. And for a certificate program like this, where it's pulling together experiences as it's doing to support students in their culminating year experience, it's not going to be tied to a zip code. And so great data for something like this would be available, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't bring value, as Corinne and Sarah were able to describe. We are working on a process for review of certificates. We're not quite there yet, but we'll unveil that pretty quick later this fall. And like Hosea discussed earlier, we will probably have a special call meeting to share with the region what the process is and the program is used.
I do have a question real quick. Where is your data coming from for the projection of students in that first enrollment? I was just wondering if that was gauged from student interest or if you had already discussed this idea with certain students within the college. I was just wanting to know where that data was coming from.
We do have students on our for the College of Education and Human Sciences, so we have garnered input from those students. We are projecting that data based on when we roll out our student success initiatives at Student Success Academy, and when that happens, we are looking at that participation based on the information that goes out to our students at that time. We are definitely working with all of our advisors within the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences to make them knowledgeable about the certificate, and of course through that organic advising situation as that happens when those meetings happen between student and advisor, that is probably where the students are going to say, yes, this is a program I want to participate in. I want to add this to my curriculum at WKU. So we're looking at it from those perspectives.
Okay. Good question, Garrett. Anyone have any other questions or thoughts, discussion? Again, for the benefit of our new regents, the committee meeting such as this, the only people that will vote on these items would be people that are on the committee. So if there is no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Regent Ernst, second from Regent Brinkley for approval of the interdisciplinary professionalism and success undergraduate certificate. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. And that takes us to action item 2, which concerns a certificate for literacy. And Provost Stevens, do we have someone here who wishes? Yes, I see Nancy Houlon is there. Nancy, I'll turn it over to you.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. So the Literacy P12 Graduate Certificate consists of 15 hours of advanced level literacy coursework. It was created in response to requests from superintendents and practicing teachers who wanted to enhance their literacy instruction and their skills in the classroom. It's offered completely online, so it would be available to and accessible to teachers throughout the Commonwealth, and we believe will address university and legislative goals of building a more literate community workforce. Completers receive a WKU credential, have an opportunity to pass the Praxis 2 and receive a reading endorsement on their teaching certificate. And the enhanced credentials make them more valuable in the workforce and make them leaders. We hope, we plan to make them leaders in their school buildings and in their districts.
Very good. Questions? Comments? Dean Murphy, anything you want to say?
Yes, I'd like to just share some celebration as far as getting the certificate off the ground. We are the first in the Commonwealth to recognize that this is an opportunity for our teachers to grow through a certificate-based program. Prior to this opportunity, you had to enroll in a full master's program. And depending upon where you are in your teaching journey, you may already have your master's. You may, in fact, have two master's or an EDS. And another master's degree is not something that is of interest to you professionally. But tackling this in a 15-credit certificate program allows access to another group of teachers. And with the work of the current Pritchard Committee on Early Numeracy and Literacy, the ongoing conversations with the General Assembly around concerns for our early learners and their inability to achieve basic reading by the time they've reached third grade, this is a timely certificate, and this is a terrific opportunity, and we've shown over the last few years our level of support for teachers within the region, and this is just another example of that. So well done to Dr. Keelan, and happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Regent Ernst and second from Regent Brinkley for approval of the Literacy P-12 Graduate Certificate. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. Motion passes. Our last action item concerns a number of emeriti appointments. And Provost Stevens, would you like to tell us about some of these people?
Yes, thank you. Let me just say before I start, the way this works is that the faculty upon retirement are nominated by the faculty from their department. This is a vote that happens within the department. A recommendation goes up to the dean and then the provost office before it comes to you for consideration. So of the seven, we have first Dr. Libby Jones, who was an associate professor of psychology. Dr. Jones served WKU for over 28 years. She was a licensed psychologist in Kentucky and a nationally certified school psychologist. She taught graduate courses in the School of Psychology and Clinical Psychology programs and undergraduate courses in the psychology major. She provided leadership in a variety of ways throughout her years at WKU, including program development, course development, coordination of the program, and development of the practica and internship training sequences in collaboration with local school districts. Dr. Tony Norman served at WKU. They also a professor of psychology, served WKU for over 13 years. Most recently, he served as a OCE dean for retention, persistent and degree completion, and interim director of the School of Professional Studies in the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. He recently completed his year as an American Council on Education ACE Fellow. Other WKU administrative experiences included serving as director of the Educational Leadership Doc Program, interim chair for the Department of Educational Administration, Leadership and Research, and associate dean for accountability and research in the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. Third is Ms. Becky Tabor, who's an associate professor of nursing and allied health. Ms. Tabor joined WKU in 1985 and retired as an associate professor in 2015 when she entered transitional retirement. Throughout her career, quote, the loyalty and support of Western Kentucky University as well as the WKU program of dental hygiene was unrivaled, end quote. She was well respected, not only at WKU, but throughout Kentucky and beyond. Her service to the American Dental Association Commission on Dental Accreditation, the Council of Interstate Testing Agencies, and the Southern Regional Testing Agency. Ms. Tabor has been a strong advocate of dental hygiene education and the WKU program of dental hygiene. Dr. Afzal Rahim, who's a university distinguished professor of management. He was first hired into the management department as professor of management in 1983, where he spent the remainder of his career. He became a university distinguished professor in 2005 and served in that capacity until his retirement. He was a Hayes-Watkins Research Fellow and served as a professorial fellow at the University of Wollongong, Australia, in 2007 to 2009. He has received several research awards, including two at the university level, for his work spanning 67 peer-reviewed journal articles, 24 books or editions, and more than 50 book chapters. Dr. Robert Reber, professor of management, joined WKU's management department in 1982. He served for 14 years in various administrative roles, including management department chair, associate dean, and twice as interim dean for the College of Business. Dr. Reber was a major contributor to new course development and the EDD program, and was instrumental in developing a transfer agreement between KCTCS and accredited colleges of business across Kentucky. This later paved the way for the Plus 2 program we now offer for our students. Dr. Dan Jackson, professor in engineering and applied sciences, recently retired after 27 years and was a member of the School of Engineering and Applied Sciences faculty and taught in the undergraduate program in manufacturing engineering technology and in both graduate and undergraduate programs in engineering technology management. He is highly esteemed by his colleagues who nominated him for this honor immediately upon his retirement. Dr. Jackson had an impressive career, which included several appointments as a Fulbright Scholar. Last but not least, Dr. Cecile Garman, Professor of Communication. Dr. Garman served as Director of WKU's Learning Assistance Center beginning in 1980 and joined the Department of Communication and Broadcasting in 1984. In the department, she developed a wealth of classes in cutting-edge topics from the undergraduate to graduate level, including among them gender differences in communication, foundations of intercultural communication, cultural impacts on terrorism and communication, multinational business communication. In all, she developed and shepherded 10 courses through the curriculum process. Most recently, Dr. Garman held the endowed professor of the Knightsley Professor of Leadership in the Georgia College of Business, where she directed the Center for Leadership Excellence. So that's our 7 nominations up for approval.
Thank you. To me, this is one of the most special things we do. Students and faculty are obviously the nuts and bolts of the university, and I think one of the things that has long separated Western from other universities is the personal relationships that our faculty establish with our students. And so the opportunity to recognize length and quality of service, I think, is one of the most fun things we get to do on the academic committee. So thank you for those recommendations and presentations. Anyone have any comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the emeriti appointments as presented.
So moved.
Motion from Regent Ernst.
Second.
Second from, who got the second?
It'd be Linda.
Linda.
Oh, Linda. Yeah, there you are, Linda. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion passes and emeriti granted. Recommended. We have an information item concerning a departmental name change in Provost Stevens. Want to tell us about that?
Yes, they request to change the name of the Department of Art to the Department of Art and Design. And Christina Arnold, your head of the art department, current art department, is going to tell you about this proposal, this request.
And I know, Dr. Price, did you want to start out with a couple words?
No, that's fine, Christina. I have absolute faith that you can summarize this beautifully.
Thanks. Well, thank you all for being here this morning and your time. I wanted to say this is an information item, but it's a proposal to change the name of the Department of Art to the name of the Department of Arts and Design. This was a unanimous faculty decision, and it's something we've been talking about in the department for at least 5 years. Essentially, this is really an instance in which the revision of the name reflects the name catching up with our current culture and our curriculum. So this isn't a huge shift in who we are. It's essentially it's a revision of our name to reflect that. Our mission has always been, and what we articulate to our students, is to have them become the artists, designers, scholars, and educators that they want to be. And this shift in terminology more accurately describes and highlights the variety of programs and curricula that we offer. And that's studio art, graphic design, art history, art education, animation, and now game design. As importantly, it allows prospective students to more easily understand the fields of study that we offer. And that's become more and more clear to me. This is now, I'm entering my third year as department head, which means I'm more responsible for recruiting. And when we have TOP advising, when we used to have that in person, I would stand there and they would split students up into groups and they said, what students are interested in the Department of Art? And a couple of students would stand up. And then they would say, and that includes graphic design, and like five more students would stand up. So we really do need to capture, I think, this name so we can more clearly articulate to our community even what we do. This name, I feel, honors, and actually I'm speaking for our faculty here, not for myself, that honors and serves our past, our present, and our future. We've had a graphic design program since the birth of the discipline as it emerged from commercial art in the mid-1980s. So again, this is not a new thing. We've been accredited by the National Association of Schools of Art and Design since the mid-1990s, and this also reflects our current areas of innovation. The last time I was before this board in the spring was to discuss our current and now, thank you, actualized game design program. We also have a growing area of innovation, and both of those fall under the rubric of design. So I'm happy to answer or entertain any questions.
Any questions, comments?
I'd just like to add that the Dean's Office wholeheartedly supports this, and as does the entire art faculty. We voted unanimously on this, and as you know, faculty unanimity is a pretty great point.
Very nice. As an information item only, it does not require a vote. And we thank you for the presentation and congratulations on finding anything unanimously in favor. So I'll take a second, too, to also thank Christina. She was a very valuable member of our Academic Restart Committee, which met frequently in the spring and early summer, I guess throughout the summer, and she, as you can tell, is a very well thought out person who had many wise suggestions for the Academic Restart, which I think has gone quite well. One other information item that is not on here, for those of us that have read Dr. Caboni's year report, I noticed on there that we have formed a committee in preparation for the Southern Association of Colleges and Universities for our new regents. Every 10 years, the university has to pass muster to remain a university that is recognized and approved. And so that process has begun, and Provost Stevens, I think, has gotten a committee together, and over the next several years you're going to hear a lot more about that. And that is a crucial activity that the Academic Affairs Committee should be aware of. With that, Chairman Higdon, I believe that concludes the business of the Academic Affairs Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Fail, and members of the Academic Affairs Committee.